What's up, Mzanzi? Welcome to Farmers Inside Jack, episode 393. I'm your host, Aftevi Spandil. Thinking about getting into the pig farming business in South Africa? Well, buckle up, because this episode is going to be your fantastic guide to success. We'll be diving into the world of pig sales in Mzanzi, uncovering the secrets from marketing trends to top reads for profit. And in this episode, Tandi Chiapero, program manager at SAPO, share her hard-earned wisdom on everything getting pigs ready for your mula. Dr. Tandi, welcome to Farmers Inside Track. I do know that you are a friendly face to the Food for Mzanzi family. Today, we are tapping into some of the information regarding how it's actually best to sell your pigs in Mzanzi. Are there any specific regulations or requirements that pig producers need to be aware of when selling their animals, and particularly regarding animal health, welfare, and food safety standards?
Obviously, there are requirements regarding farms, which means you need to register your farm. You register a brand mark and a tattoo with the Department of Agriculture. So that's your sort of starting point as a farmer. And it's important in terms of our Stock Theft Act and agricultural product standards to have your farm's tattoo on the product. So within the standards, there's already 2 weeks of owning an animal you need to have brand marked it. In pig's case, that's a tattoo in the ear. And that's now aside from the age tattoo, which is the company requirement actually. So then according to Agricultural Product Standards Act, if your pig comes in at more than 100 kgs, your boar especially, and 110 kgs, you now need to mark it with its birth age. So the weight that it was born in, which is from 1 to 52 weeks of the year. So that's then if you want your boar carcass to be classified according to the AUGA system. That's your sort of starting point. And then other regulations include obviously welfare regulations, including your Animal Protection Act. I should tell you a little bit about the welfare, but it's very vague on the welfare. So the next set of standards is what SAPO actually has, a welfare standards code that we released in 2011. While the code came out. And then what we deal a lot with is what we call the compartment standard, which is actually something issued by the department. It's not directly regulations. It's what we call a veterinary procedural notice. So that's veterinary procedural notice number 39. So that gives you compartment standard. The compartment standard that was something that was born out of a need for standards regarding biosecurity on farms. So that's an annual audit done by State Vet, according to that VPN 39, and they're then issued with a compartment certificate, which is also your export approval certificate. So that's your compartment standard. In terms of other standards, we also have obviously our Hawk 360 standard, but that's by SAPO for all the producers. And so that's basically just, it's what we call a consumer assurance standard, and that describes a range of quality factors, welfare factors, food safety factors all related to the farm. But it's important to understand that the compartment standard is what you need for if you're going to be exporting your pigs. And Pork 360 is by no means a regulation. It's very much a voluntary system. There's no, people like to call it a regulation, but means it is not a regulation. It's our set of rules that is you voluntarily submit to the rules. And if you do submit to the rules, you get your Pork 360 certificate. And that just really allows you a certain place in the market. Hawk 360 is just a helpful tool to describe the industry without someone else having to describe it for us. We don't want the banks or some international standard to describe our industry. We describe it ourselves, and we then verify it ourselves, but based on our Hawk 360 standard, which has an international set.
Are there any niche markets or specialty products within the pig industry in South Africa that producers can actually target to differentiate the offerings and potentially achieve higher prices?
So obviously there is a higher price attached to an export product. It's not as simple as just exporting your pigs. I get a lot of questions like, I have these pigs. I bought these pigs from the auction. I want to export them. That's not how it works. Exporting is not something you do at the drop of a hat. It's a long-term thing. You plan your farm, and as I said, you need that veterinary procedural notice, number 39, and you need your farm to be audited, and you need a certification. And with that compartment standard, there's obviously a whole host of biosecurity-related things, which include blood tests to have been done. for various diseases. So you can't just think that you're just going to export. It's not something you do on a whim. And I think that's important to understand in terms of exports. So yes, exports are a way of getting a higher price for your product. But something else that's a bit tricky about exports is that often they, for instance, only want one cut of pig. So that's all good and well. You get this excellent price for your loins or for ribs or something like that. You get a great price, but the rest of your carcass, you now sit with excess. And that sometimes is quite difficult to deal with. So you'll get this buyer exports all of the one products, but where's the rest of it going? And then sometimes you have to actually decrease the price of the rest of your product to be able to sell it. That is a very tricky balance as a business person that you have to strike there. It's not something that anyone can really tell you how to do. You need to work out for yourself, will I need to take a lower price for the rest of my carcass if I want to export some of it? So that's important for consideration. Other niche markets, difficult to say. A niche market usually implies that it's quite a small market, which means if you are producing pigs on a weekly basis and you have however many hundred or thousands of pigs that you want to produce on a weekly basis, how do you put that into a niche market? Because a niche market is usually a small market. So that's difficult to say.
And what are some common challenges that pig producers may encounter when selling their animals in Mzansi? And how can they actually overcome or mitigate those challenges?
Some of the challenges, obviously, that we have are the diseases that we have in South Africa. We've got African swine fever, we've got foot and mouth disease, which is sitting in the cattle, actually not affecting the pigs at this stage. But it seriously does affect our marketing pigs. One of the challenges for some of our emerging farms, particularly as they struggle with our African swine fever control measures and our foot and mouth disease control measures, some of which include like disease management zones or what are called red zones, out of which it's very difficult to move pigs, even if they are confirmed healthy. That is one of the challenges. Your best bet is still to be what we call compartmentalized, to comply with our veterinary procedural notice number 39 and or to comply with our Pork 360 standards, which makes marketing internal at least a bit easier. It's important to have a standard that your farm complies with. If you don't have a standard that describes your pedigree, that describes your product, how is your buyer going to know what they're getting? That's what's important in terms of complying with the standard. We also do have something now which we call the biosecurity assessment, which is helping us a little bit. There's some of the guys who are struggling with the new addendum to the compartment standard, which includes the movement of vehicles in and out of your compartment. So we've introduced something called the biosecurity assessment, which actually is something that you can really apply on a broad spectrum of farms. And it just tests, there's sort of seven minimum questions that are the baseline questions, without which really are you controlling your biosecurity at all on your farm. And then there's a further, I think it's 24 or 25 questions, which then just determine a further level of biosecurity. And it's really up to the recipient of the pigs, buyer of the pigs or the buyer of the pork, to decide which of those questions do they deem are important in terms of their risk mitigation for disease control. It's not a prescriptive standard. It's just a descriptive. It's not prescriptive. It's descriptive. It just tells you what's going on the farm. It doesn't tell you what are you willing to accept, what are you as the buyer willing to take in terms of biosecurity standard. It tells you what's there. All of those, either a biosecurity assessment, a compartment standard, the Pork 360, all of those are really just descriptors of what's going on your farm. And that's so important for a buyer. You can't do without that. How do you know what you're getting?
What would you say are the best ways for a farmer to know where they are actually buying from? Where is the best place for them to buy and sell their pigs?
Auctions are really quite disastrous. Our agricultural products guys, the APAC, is trying their level best to enforce certain biosecurity measures and movement permits and things. But it's very difficult to control. And auctions have unfortunately been the source of many of our disease outbreaks. Not so much the source, the spreader. Because people, especially when they're desperate, they go to an auction, sell it quickly. So let's say you're seeing your pigs are sick today, and then tomorrow you go to auction, they're maybe not that sick yet, so someone's still willing to buy them. So it's very difficult for me to recommend auctions. There are certain risk mitigation factors, but the reality is it's easy for a seller to hide too many facts at an auction. So a direct sell is always better. If you can go and see the situation of the pigs that you're buying, go and go and view the farm, go and see which measures, biosecurity measures they're putting in place. That's your best bet. Go and see what's there, or go and send someone that you trust to go and see what's there. So has there been a vet there? We actually have what we call passive disease surveillance that we have on an app now, where any vet that visits a farm can log just the basic disease findings of the farm, just to say, is the mortality rate of the pigs acceptable? And do we suspect a notifiable disease at all on this farm? And basically, they ticked about 4 or 5 questions. It's just to tell us what's there. It's very ill-advised to buy pigs that you don't know where they're coming from, or you don't know anything about the status of the farm that they're coming from. It's far safer to buy direct.
No, that absolutely makes sense. And I think that once farmers understand the reality of it as well, they would be able to produce really well pigs within their farm. The one thing that makes me curious about the specific topic is understanding what your role is as a farmer and how you can play a role with the vets, but also play a role with ensuring that you are providing food security within South Africa. How does seasonality or other external factors affect the demand and prices for pigs in South Africa, specifically the market, and how can producers adapt their sales strategies accordingly?
Maybe more someone that's in the market, like an abattoir owner or one of the retailers might have a better answer for that. I mean, on the farms, we have certain seasonal risks, but they've got little bearing on your marketing. I mean, obviously, you have a certain cycle with pigs. They're not chickens that have got a 30-day cycle, and so you place more broilers 30 days before you need them. With pigs, you've got a longer cycle, so you need to plan for those seasonal changes. And I think the only thing that can really predict that for you to some extent is, you know, trends over the last few years, which is something that SAPA reports on. But like we had last year, we had actually really like a flooding of the markets. I think it was over December. So instead of the price increasing, like, you know, we're kind of used to, there was a flooding and we had the opposite that happened. So we do have a bit of a restriction because we are not exporting much at the moment, especially certain of our export markets are completely closed because of foot and mouth at the moment, especially our Namibian market. Sometimes you think the price is going to go well and then it plummets instead of going up. So it's difficult. Some of the abattoirs stockpile and they, you know, they keep them in the freezers for a bit longer to try and get a better price at another time. But as it's negotiated between the abattoir and the farmer most of the time, we as SAPA have no say over that. And so it's a lot of the times it's the abattoirs that kind of determine the market and flux thereof. Very difficult to predict. But at the same time, you need to make some predictions as the farmer because you've got 3 months, 3 weeks, and 3 days pregnancy of your sows, and you've got 5 months odd growing to do. So it's all, it is a bit tricky. It is a very tricky situation. It's a tricky one to address.
And I think that's something that's important to also recognize is every farm has their own strategy and the way they work the market. And that's also important to acknowledge within the sphere. My final question is, can you share any tips or best practices for marketing and promoting pig products effectively to maximize sales and profitability in South African context?
A large portion of SAPA's budget goes towards promoting South African pork as a whole. We don't promote individual brands or individual farmers, obviously, because we represent the whole industry. So we promote something that we basically brand as SA pork. So you might see that in some of the magazines and so on. We have promotional strips. What we're really trying at the moment is to promote pork facts, to try and bust the myths surrounding pork. So we have a bit of difficulty with a certain class of consumers that have preconceived ideas about pork that will suddenly declare, now what pork gave me tonsils. So we're working with the University of Stellenbosch to really bust those myths and put out the right facts around pork. So tips for promoting pork, I don't know, but I think it's very important that you understand what's your market. Maybe your market wants a C-class pork. We've got the Porcus system, P-O-R-C-U-S system, where peas is kind of your leanest pork. And all the producers drive, bigger commercial producers really drive towards the P's and the O's. But sometimes it's important to understand that maybe your market doesn't want that. Maybe your market wants a slightly fatter carcass. Maybe that is the tastier carcass. And there's a lot to be said for understanding what your market is. I mean, don't try and do what everyone else is doing just because they're doing it, but make sure you understand what's your consumer, what are the guys in your area wanting. Don't drive your piggery, the bigger carcass, or the this or the that, because you're seeing it being driven somewhere else. Make sure you understand that your pig is right for your market.
Thanks so much, Dante Giopero, Program Manager at Sapo. For more on the topic, visit www.foodformzanzi.co.za. And that's it up. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. From me, Octavius Pandil, our technical producer, Meekan van der Veen, and the rest of the hashtag team Foodformzanzi. Thanks for listening.
Life in South Africa can be a lot. I mean, scroll through Twitter for a minute and tell me I'm wrong. Thank God for South Africans though, right? We're inspiring, and even on the bad days, we fight back with a smile. That's why I love Foodformzanzi so much. They're not ashamed to celebrate the ordinary unsung heroes who work every day to put food on our nation's tables. Go to foodformzanzi.co.za and never miss an inspiring story.